Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
Everybody, welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities. This is Abby.
And this is Lori.
And we're so happy to have you here today. This is season 2, episode 4, or just episode 34 of Let's Talk Learning Disabilities.
That we haven't really decided how we're going to count them, have we?
Right. We started the new year 2022 with season 2. But we've just continued on with our series of Living With, where we're interviewing various, all different clients and students with various learning disabilities. And today we have a very special guest. We're excited to talk to her. We have SJ here with us today. Hi, SJ.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
SJ is what you actually go by, right? We don't want anyone to think we're like trying to be incognito. Yes. That's literally what you go by, right? Okay.
Just want to make sure. We're so happy to have you here today. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you guys for having me.
So SJ, you've been diagnosed with a visual processing disorder, correct?
Yes.
So, before we get into that, actually, sorry for our listeners, tell us a little bit about you. How old you are, where you go to school, what year you are in school.
I'm 19. I'm a freshman in college at Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee.
In Nashville. Wow.
Yeah, I'm a psych major, and then I'm double minoring in education and nutrition.
Oh, wow.
Very cool. Good for you.
Do you like living in Nashville? I have to ask real fast.
What?
Do you like living in Nashville?
Yes, I do. I like it a lot.
Do you like country music?
Yeah, but okay.
It helps, I guess, to live there.
Like Dallas too, so it's like
You like Dallas too. I like Dallas too, but there's always a lot of great live music to hear in Nashville. You're lucky; you have a lot to do, and you're a psych major. So, what are your goals? What do you want to be when you grow up?
Honestly, I have no idea.
Well, that's okay. So, you've been diagnosed with a visual processing disorder. Can you tell me, first of all, how old were you when you were diagnosed?
I was in fourth grade, so I was, I don't know, how old are you in fourth grade?
9 or 10, somewhere
in there. Yeah, around 9 or 10, I guess. And so then the second semester, I guess, of fourth grade, I got glasses from Dr. S. And then that summer, I started doing vision therapy.
Okay. Wow. So fourth grade, do you remember what life was like before you were diagnosed and some things that were hard for you or what you experienced as struggles or anything like that?
Always when I was younger, like we have my library card somewhere at home, but I wrote my name backwards. Like I wrote from right to left.
Interesting.
Always when I was younger. And then even once I stopped doing that, I would always write like, when I wrote my name, Sarah Jane, I'd write the J the wrong direction.
Okay.
Did you know it was the wrong direction when you went back to look at it, or did you just never recognize it was wrong?
No, I don't think I realized it was wrong. Like
it
I would
right to you.
Right to left, and I thought that that's normal.
So. Yeah. And we've seen that. We've heard parents talking about their child writes backwards. And reversing your letters, you were reversing letters, it sounds like, beyond those early developmental stages when it's appropriate, like kindergarten, first grade, even in your own name.
What about with your reading? What was reading like for you up to that point?
Reading, I remember we would always read, like me and my mom would always read books together before bed. And I would have to be like, okay, I can read one page. And then my eyes would get so tired that I couldn't read it. And she would have to read like 5 pages before I could read another page.
Could you remember what you read like while you were reading it? Or did you have to go back and read and reread?
I would usually have to go back and reread and reread. And I like, especially I remember like in fourth grade at Green Hill, we were doing some sort of like whatever. It was one of the like standardized testing, whatever we did at that time. And I would just guess and make like shapes on the reading comprehension ones because I would just make it like a fun pattern because I couldn't.
On the bubble document.
Because I just wouldn't know. Like I just couldn't like read and then answer questions about it. That was always something that was really hard for me. So
did you get tested for any other kind of learning disability before you went to see Dr. Huss, or did your parents know to go there first? Because that's always fascinating to me how people get that diagnosis or how they end up there.
So my brother has dyslexia and went to Shelton. So whenever he went through all of that and did all that testing, I did the same thing or the same, I guess, testing. And they said that I was perfectly fine, had nothing wrong with me.
That's unfortunate.
And then, so in fourth grade, we started working with a tutor outside of school who I ended up homeschooling with her, fifth and sixth grade. And she noticed that I would write with my paper turned sideways, but the paper would be turned, but my head would be straight. And so I would just completely write.
So the paper was like horizontal.
Yes. And I guess I was just doing a few other things that were a little questionable. Huh. And she had referred us to Dr. S.
And Dr. S was on, and I should have looked to see what episode he was on. He was on one of our earlier episodes where we talked about his vision, what he does. Did you get the episode number?
Episode number 7.
Okay.
Visual processing with Dr. Shidlovsky.
And so Dr. S is here local in the North Texas area. And so if you want to know more about what he does and his practice and a little bit more about visual processing, good episode to check out after you're done with this one.
Definitely.
Sorry to interrupt. But so she referred you to Dr. SSJ and you went in for your evaluation.
Yes. And so originally I got glasses. I think they were like the prism ones.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know. Prism glasses. Yeah. And so from there, the first night I got them, I hadn't been able to read at all. And I read a 400-page book in 2 days.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. And
so that was, like, really big. And then I fell asleep on my face one night, and my dogs ate them.
Oh, and no.
Like, right after I'd gotten them. And then I couldn't read again. So then I ended up getting another pair. And then started doing vision therapy and all that, which really changed more of like my like day-to-day life, I guess, because when I was little, like if I was riding a bike, if I turned my head, the entire bike would turn.
That's interesting.
So like, especially, I mean, now with driving and everything, thank goodness I don't do that because.
Thank goodness, right? So you had some motor planning challenges, it sounds like, with your depth perception and your peripheral vision.
So if I like turned to look at anything, everything I was doing would turn.
And so that's therapy. Better now that you have the glasses?
Yes, a lot better. But when I was younger, I was always falling, like always had scrapes all over my legs from just like tripping and like visually not perceiving that things were, I guess, where they were.
Right. You couldn't, it was hard for you to judge your distance between like you and the curb or you and the wall or you whatever. And so you would, that makes sense. That makes total sense. So the vision therapy really helped more of your visual spatial stuff, whereas the lenses, which were prism lenses, really helped the reading, kind of the fine motor, the tracking across the page.
Right. And then me and my mom were texting about it earlier because I was just trying to make sure I had all my
like facts. Things.
Great.
Moms are good for that.
And then, so I also had glasses before this in kindergarten, and we just went to like whatever normal ophthalmologist, and they didn't help at all. But I guess the head of my preschool had noticed that I copied a drawing weird. And they like recommended that I go to to get a visual exam. And I ended up getting glasses, but they didn't really do anything, I guess.
So you saw like a regular optometrist who gave you glasses.
Right. But
they didn't really help.
No, they didn't really change anything. And so then after going to Dr. S, doing vision therapy, all that, for a little bit, I didn't wear glasses at all. And then at the beginning of high school, I was just still noticing I was having issues. Like if I'm like looking at a piece of paper, then I couldn't like focus on the board back and forth. Uh-huh. And so I ended up going to Dr. S again and getting glasses I have now, which are blue blockers and
prism.
Probably. Or are they just like a nearsighted, farsighted kind of thing?
I don't know. They had me do something, some computerized machine thing to figure it out. But I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. He's got a lot of really cool toys.
What they are. So with the glasses, you notice a big difference. Can you copy from the board or the overhead now or from?
Well, it's easier. It's a lot easier for me to focus back and forth.
Back and forth focusing.
And I'll notice if I'm not wearing my glasses, my head will start hurting really bad if I'm on my computer or even just like reading a book. And I'll notice that like if I have them on, I can comprehend as I'm reading a lot better than if I don't have them.
Hmm. That's interesting. That's so cool.
That is so cool. You know, Abby and I hear that a lot from parents and students that, you know, they knew something wasn't right. So they'd go to the eye doctor and the eye doctor would do an exam and say, I mean, everything seems to look okay, but we think based on your complaints that maybe trying these glasses for like a slight farsighted or a slight nearsighted, you know, might tweak something that will make a difference. Uh-huh. And so a lot of times when we have younger kids that come in that already have glasses, it can sometimes be a red flag. Like, okay, they've already noticed something's off with vision. Maybe whatever they're doing is all they needed, or maybe it's not. And we need to look further into the visual processing stuff. So that's really interesting that you went down that same road. Uh-huh. How are your grades like in those in your younger, were you getting grades in first, second, third grade, or was it impacted by some of your struggles?
I don't think we like really had grade. I don't really know.
Were your teachers concerned about your progress?
The main like concern I would say is like, spelling never worked for me. It would just take me so much longer to read. So especially on like achievement things, like I said,
with testing,
reading comprehension, I would just do horribly on them. But it was just like so hard for me to like comprehend what I was reading and answering questions that again, I would just like make it a zigzag down the page. And I didn't really care if I was doing good because it was too hard.
Right. So now are you doing well in school?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well in school right now. Definitely college is a lot different also, though.
Sure. It is a lot harder.
But like right now I have good grades, so.
Good. And did you do well throughout high school for the most part?
In high school I did okay. I did better after COVID hit. I stayed online for the rest of high school because I didn't really like my school. And so it was a lot easier online. And so I haven't taken like a real test or anything in 2 years. Even first semester of college, I didn't take a real test. So it'll be interesting once I have to do that.
Yeah.
That's not uncommon right now. I think a lot of kids are going through that, figuring out what school is all about now that we're kind of trying to get things back to normal. So doing tests online or no tests at all made for easy, right?
Yeah.
I'm curious too, SJ, when you were in elementary school, middle school, high school, after you were diagnosed, did you get any accommodations? Like extra time for reading or taking tests or having your tests read to you?
No, I didn't get anything like that at all. And that was actually whenever I took the ACT before college, I had to spend so much time working on the like reading comprehension part of it. And at one point during that, I had lost my glasses. And so we went back to Dr. S and like my prescription got changed a little bit too. And we had to like expedite them. So I got them in time to take the ACT because without them, reading comprehension was completely like out of the question.
Oh, really?
So
with your glasses and with the vision therapy, you had enough correction and help so that you didn't need academic accommodations.
Right, for the most part.
Okay, good.
Do you like to read?
I kind of go in stages, but like this recently I've been reading a lot. So.
And it, you don't notice like that your eyes get tired now, or you don't get the headaches, or the, or do you feel like it, you read and you comprehend and there are really no issues?
Yeah, as long as I'm interested in what I'm reading.
Mm-hmm.
There's
that
not.
Makes sense too, right?
Yeah.
Nobody likes reading something boring.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's a lot harder to comprehend.
Do you remember when you were younger, did you hate reading? I mean, did you fight it?
Well, we would like always just growing up, like I said, my mom would read a book with me and my brother before bed every single night. And I like loved audiobooks and I loved her reading to me, but like I didn't want to read.
Hmm. Interesting.
Did you get asked when you were younger, did you have to read aloud in school very often?
Not really, I don't think.
I would think that would make me nervous, right? If I, mm-hmm. if I struggled with reading, being asked to read aloud. I think they've gotten better about it. It's interesting. I don't hear that as much, but I do have some students that have complained about that where, mm-hmm. you know, they get called on and it's super embarrassing. What right. about writing? So I know you said it affected spelling, but thinking about like just your ability to put your thoughts on paper, is that something that's been hard for you?
I think that mainly with spelling and then like punctuation was something that like I could never understand. Like it just never made sense to me. Vocabulary, none of that. So I was always like into this day, if I write a paper, my friends will read it and be like, you have about 8 run-on sentences in one paragraph. Like we need to fix this. So yeah, I definitely struggled with that in a sense of like, I would just kind of word vomit everything out and just hope for the best.
Right.
I love that.
So when you go back and read what you've written, do you find places where you think there needs to be a pause or a punctuation?
Sometimes, but usually I just don't even reread things because it's not worth it because I think I'm right. Like, I think it makes sense.
Oh.
You read it in your own voice, like how you meant right. it, what you meant it to say, even if it's not what it says, right?
Well, usually I just don't read over anything and just turn it in because it's not worth it.
Cross your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, SJ, my favorite part about having you here today is that we actually have a lot of people in the community that still don't really buy into that there is benefits that come from vision therapy. There's not enough research on it. So they think it's, I've actually heard the word quackery used.
Quackery, yep.
And so I love that you're able to talk about the befores and the afters and what, I mean, the fact that you went home the first day you had your glasses and you started a 400-page book and mm-hmm. finished it in 2 days, that's bonkers, right? Like that is
right.
unbelievable. And had you tried that prior to your glasses, do you think you would have even finished it? Would you have even started it?
No, probably not. Like it was a really big deal that I had read it to the point where I literally fell asleep with my glasses on my face. And they ended up falling off. My dogs ended up eating them because of that.
Aww. But
I would like fall asleep with my glasses on because I had fallen asleep reading, which would have been completely out of the question before that.
So I love that. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, how can you argue that?
Right.
The before
right.
and the after. Like there was nothing else that you were doing that would have made that kind of difference. And
right.
the fact that it has made such a, I mean, think about where you'd be today had you not gone through that when you did. Because mm-hmm. even if you had waited and gotten diagnosed in 9th grade, you know, I mean, think about where your attitude about reading would have been by then and
right.
how much less you would have been reading. It would have made a big difference even where you are today. So the fact that you had it done at a fairly young age, but you're old enough to remember the difference that it made and kind of appreciate mm-hmm. the process, I think that's amazing. So
that is amazing. That's a great testimonial for sure.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And you don't bump into things or fall down anymore, do you?
No, I do not walk in straight lines. If I'm like walking with friends and I don't have my glasses on, I cannot walk in a straight line to save my life. I like veer
off.
That's
interesting.
So everyone kind of makes fun of me for that, but.
But once you have your glasses on, then you can walk a straight line.
Right.
Right? Walk awesome. Straight. Can you walk? Do you know? Have you ever tried walking with your eyes closed?
No.
And yeah, do you feel like your spelling skills have improved with your glasses and vision therapy?
They've definitely gotten better. Like, I think that I used to not be able to even like now if I see a word and I'll know I spelled it wrong. Like, I'll recognize that it looks wrong. Whereas before, I wouldn't even recognize that it looked wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't necessarily mean I can tell you what's wrong with it, but I can see it and be like, wait, that's not how that's supposed to look.
Right.
That's huge.
Yeah, that is huge. That's great.
That's exactly how we explain it to people, that spelling is so visual that a lot of students that have vision issues tend to spell how the word sounds, not how it looks.
Mm-hmm. Right. But when I was younger, I would definitely like look at those words and think like, oh. And so now I think I can definitely like look at a word and be like, wait, I spelled that wrong. I just won't necessarily know how it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
That does make sense. Very cool. That's awesome. So do you have to go back for checkups or any type of reevaluation with Dr. S for the visual processing?
So I went back when I lost my glasses. So junior year, when I got these, and they just rechecked my vision since I was going to have to get a new pair anyways and tweaked my prescription a little bit. And then over this past summer, I went back just to check in on my vision and everything looked good. These glasses actually have really bad scratches on them, so I am getting another pair right now. We're waiting on them, but they're the same prescription and everything. And then I think next summer would be my next. So I think it's just a yearly, like, kind of check-in.
Check-up.
Just to tweak prescription, whatever, but nothing crazy.
Like, okay. you don't think you'll need to do vision therapy again. I mean, we all go annually for our vision checks, but...
Right.
That's great. Therapy,
yeah. That is great.
So the vision therapy made such
a big difference.
Sorry. Yeah. The vision therapy made a big difference. Just doing it for however many sessions, 10 to 12 sessions or something you did maybe. Do you remember how many? How long you went?
2 to 3 times a week for a whole summer.
Oh, really?
And then was doing at-home exercises on the computer.
It sounds like hers was pretty severe. I mean, if she was bumping into things, I mean, that's usually when we know it gets pretty severe. So I don't doubt that it was pretty intensive. But still, just a summer to take your reading and your coordination from, you know, below what's typical to almost above is pretty amazing. So,
right.
Definitely. That's awesome. So SJ, if you knowing what you know now and functioning, how well you're functioning now, what advice would you give if you could go back in time to your younger self, to that third grade student who hated to read, who struggled with bumping into things? Is there any advice you would give to your younger self?
I don't know if there's advice that honestly, like Dr. S was just like,
right,
the best thing that could have happened. I think the only thing that I would say to my younger self is to be a little more consistent with my homework during vision therapy.
That's good advice.
That is great advice.
The at-home exercises they gave you to be more consistent with those.
Because it's not necessarily fun, but looking back, it helps so much that I understand why it's so important that you're doing that every day.
So a quick question, though, I'm curious to know if there's a parent or a student listening, what would you say would be the top three red flags that would indicate they might want to go have their vision checked by somebody like Dr. S, like somebody who specializes in that? What are the three things that you could think of that would be the big red flags?
I would say definitely any sort of like writing backwards. And then definitely if you're reading and just could read like 5 pages and then have no idea what you've read or how that would apply. And then the third thing I would say is definitely like if you or your kid is struggling with spelling and things, but they don't realize that they're wrong. Like they think there's nothing wrong with what they're spelling. That's definitely a red flag. Cause I feel like from my experience, at least most of my friends, if they didn't know how to spell, it was like, well, I know this is spelled wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I was just like, oh, that's right.
Okay. That's great.
Especially if you're spelling how it sounds, you know, because you, that's all you have to rely on. Do you feel like you have really good listening skills? Like audiobooks or listening to things? Like, do you feel like, especially back
when you're visually? I would say generally, yeah. I like always loved like audiobooks. I love listening to podcasts. They're a lot easier for me to like focus and concentrate on.
Mm-hmm. Like so strong listening skills. That's good to know. That's great information for our listeners. Thank you, SJ.
Yes, of course.
Awesome. So do you have anything else to share with our listeners today? I think you've done a great job helping us understand more about visual processing.
I think that's kind of it. I don't know.
I think it's incredibly helpful. I do. Like I said, I feel like there are so many people that look at this as being kind of made up or not a real thing. And even when we meet with parents, they are look at us like we've got two heads until we really explain it to them, and they go see one of the doctors, and then they're like, okay, this is a thing. I get it. And it can make a world of difference. So,
I mean, thank you for it's a real thing. So
it is definitely a real thing.
It is a real thing. And I think we will also include in the show notes the College of Optometric Development. The COVD.org. So, College of.
Let's just say that in the show notes, we're going to include a link to a website that will take you to, that will give you some information about the doctors that assess for visual processing, and also provides a directory, because there are doctors across the whole country that do this, and you want to make sure that you're getting someone who really has a solid understanding. Lots of people are doing vision therapy, but do they really kind of offer the whole process from the evaluation through the lenses and therapy, not just somebody who's just doing vision therapy? So we'll put that website in the show notes.
To find an optometrist that specializes in learning related vision issues.
And then Abby, you had printed off also a symptoms kind of checklist that we'll also include that you guys can kind of look at. And if, you know, you have a lot of the symptoms or just kind of see some of the red flags, they overlap a lot with dyslexia. Mm-hmm. So it is good to kind of rule out, is this dyslexia or is it vision? But definitely spelling phonetically is not typical of a dyslexic student. It is very typical of a visual processing disorder.
True. Reversing words and reversing numbers and transposing and writing backwards, or seeing words moving on a page, or feeling like you have double vision. Those are not characteristics of dyslexia. They are more signs of a visual processing disorder.
And like we have preached a million times, the letter reversals are pretty normal through second grade. After that, it's probably vision. So definitely keep an eye out for that. So, Ashley, thank you for doing this. Thank you for being here. It was awesome to have you share your story. You tell it very well. You're very well spoken. You have a good handle on where you're at and the things you've struggled with. And we really appreciate you sharing.
Absolutely. We really appreciate it. And thank you to our listeners for listening today. And if you guys have any questions or other topics you would like to hear more about, feel free to email us at letstalklearningdisabilities@gmail.com. And we look forward to more Living With series and future episodes. Thanks again, everybody.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.